Hello and welcome to episode number 122 of the New Life Spring Family Audio Bible. I'm Steve Webb and I'm your host. Today we'll read Numbers 34, John 5, and Psalm 44 from the Contemporary English Version. Numbers chapter 34. The Lord told Moses to tell the people of Israel that their land in Canaan would have the following borders. The southern border will be the Zin Desert and the northwest part of Edom. This border will begin at the south end of the Dead Sea. It will go west from there, but will turn southward to include Scorpion Pass, the village of Zin, and the town of Kadesh Barnea. From there, the border will continue to Hazer Adar and on to Asmon. It will run along the Egyptian Gorge and end at the Mediterranean Sea. The western border will be the Mediterranean Sea. The northern border will begin at the Mediterranean, then continue eastward to Mount Hor. After that, it will run to Lebo Hamath and across to Zedad, which is the northern edge of your land. From Zedad, the border will continue east to Ziphron and end at Hazer Enan. The eastern border will begin at Hazer Enan in the north, then run south to Shepham, and on down to Riblah on the east side of Ain. From there, it will go south to the eastern hills of Lake Galilee, then follow the Jordan River down to the north end of the Dead Sea. The land within those four borders will belong to you. Then Moses told the people, "You will receive the land inside these borders. It will be yours, but the Lord has commanded you to divide it among the 9.5 tribes." The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh have already been given their land across from Jericho, east of the Jordan River. The Lord said to Moses, "Eleazar the priest and Joshua son of Nun will divide the land for the Israelites. One leader from each tribe will help them, and here is the list of their names. Caleb, son of Jephunneh, from Judah, Shemuel, son of Ammiad, from Simeon, Eliadad, son of Kislon, from Benjamin, Buckeye, son of Joglai, from Dan, Haniel, son of Ephod, from Manasseh, Kemuel, son of Shiftan, from Ephraim, Elizaphan, son of Parnak, from Zebulun, Paltiel, son of Azan, from Issachar, Ahihud, son of Shelomai, from Asher, and Petahel, son of Ammiad, from Naphtali. These are the men the Lord commanded to help Eleazar and Joshua divide the land for the Israelites." John chapter 5. Later, Jesus went to Jerusalem for another Jewish festival. In the city near the Sheep Gate was a pool with five porches, and its name in Hebrew was Bethesda. Many sick, blind, lame, and paralyzed people were lying close to the pool. Beside the pool was a man who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw the man and realized that he had been crippled for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" The man answered, "Sir, I don't have anyone to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. I try to get in, but someone else always gets there first." Jesus told him, "Pick up your mat and walk." Right then, the man was healed. He picked up his mat and started walking around. The day on which this happened was a Sabbath. When the Jewish leaders saw the man carrying his mat, they said to him, "This is the Sabbath. No one is allowed to carry a mat on the Sabbath." But he replied, "The man who healed me told me to pick up my mat and walk." They asked him, "Who is this man that told you to pick up your mat and walk?" But he did not know who Jesus was, and Jesus had left because of the crowd. Later, Jesus met the man in the temple and told him, "You are now well, but don't sin anymore, or something worse might happen to you." The man left and told the leaders that Jesus was the one who had healed him. They started making a lot of trouble for Jesus because he did things like this on the Sabbath. But Jesus said, "My Father has never stopped working, and this is why I keep on working." Now the leaders wanted to kill Jesus for two reasons. First, he had broken the law of the Sabbath, but even worse, he had said God was his Father, which made him equal with God. Jesus told the people, "I tell you for certain, the Son cannot do anything on his own. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, and he does exactly what he sees the Father do. The Father loves the Son and has shown him everything he does. The Father will show him even greater things, and you will be amazed. Just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants to. The Father doesn't judge anyone, but he has made his Son the judge of everyone. The Father wants all people to honor the Son as much as they honor him. When anyone refuses to honor the Son, this is the same as refusing to honor the Father who sent him. I tell you for certain that everyone who hears my message and has faith in the one who sent me has eternal life and will never be condemned. They have already gone from death to life. I tell you for certain the time will come, and it is already here, when all of the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen to it will live. The Father has the power to give life, and he has given that same power to the Son. And he has given his Son the right to judge everyone, because he is the Son of Man. Don't be surprised. The time will come when all of the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they will come out of their graves. Everyone who has done good things will rise to life, but everyone who has done evil things will rise and be condemned. I cannot do anything on my own. The Father sent me, and he is the one who told me how to judge. I judge with fairness because I obey him, and I don't just try to please myself. If I speak for myself, there is no way to prove I am telling the truth. But there is someone else who speaks for me, and I know what he says is true. You sent messengers to John, and he told them the truth. I don't depend on what people say about me, but I tell you these things so that you may be saved. John was a lamp that gave a lot of light, and you were glad to enjoy his light for a while. But something more important than John speaks for me. I mean the things that the Father has given me to do. All of these speak for me and prove that the Father sent me. The Father who sent me also speaks for me, but you have never heard his voice or seen him face to face. You have not believed his message because you refused to have faith in the one he sent. You search the Scriptures because you think you will find eternal life in them. The Scriptures tell about me, but you refuse to come to me for eternal life. I don't care about human praise, but I do know that none of you love God. I have come with my Father's authority, and you have not welcomed me. But you will welcome people who come on their own. How could you possibly believe? You like to have your friends praise you, and you don't care about praise that the only God can give. Don't think that I will be the one to accuse you to the Father. You have put your hope in Moses, yet he is the very one who will accuse you. Moses wrote about me, and if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. But if you don't believe what Moses wrote, how can you believe what I say? Psalms chapter 44. Our God, our ancestors told us what wonders you worked, and we listened carefully. You chased off the nations by causing them trouble with your powerful arm. Then you let our ancestors take over their land. Their strength and weapons were not what won the land and gave them victory. You loved them and fought with your powerful arm and your shining glory. You are my God and King, and you give victory to the people of Jacob. By your great power, we knocked our enemies down and trampled on them. I don't depend on my arrows or my sword to save me, but you saved us from our hateful enemies, and you put them to shame. We boast about you, our God, and we are always grateful. But now you have rejected us. You don't lead us into battle, and we look foolish. You made us retreat, and our enemies have taken everything we own. You let us be slaughtered like sheep, and you scattered us among the nations. You sold your people for little or nothing, and you earned no profit. You made us look foolish to our neighbors. People who live nearby insult us and sneer. Foreigners joke about us and shake their heads. I am embarrassed every day, and I blush with shame. But others mock and sneer as they watch my enemies take revenge on me. All this happened to us, though we didn't forget you or break our agreement. We always kept you in mind and followed your teaching. But you crushed us, and you covered us with deepest darkness where wild animals live. We did not forget you or lift our hands in prayer to foreign gods. You would have known it because you discover every secret thought. We face death all day for you. We are like sheep on their way to be slaughtered. Wake up, do something, Lord. Why are you sleeping? Don't desert us forever. Why do you keep looking away? Don't forget our sufferings and all our troubles. We are flat on the ground, holding on to the dust. Do something. Help us. Show how kind you are and come to our rescue. May God bless the reading of His Word. In Psalms 44 today, we hear the cry of a people who have been brought low. They remember in the first part of the psalm how God saved their ancestors and defeated their enemies and gave them the promised land. It talks about how God rejected them and allowed terrible things to happen to them, including being scattered from their land and being taken into slavery. They even talk about how they've not turned from God, and they ask Him to wake up and rescue them. Now, in looking at this, we have to put it into context. The reason the calamities happened to the people of Israel is that they did sin and they did turn their backs on Him. And God warned them that this would happen if they did not repent. Generations passed, and then this generation, the one writing this psalm, turned back to God and asked Him to remember them, which He ultimately did. And that is the God of love we know. Yes, there are consequences to ignoring Him, but when we repent, He does forgive and restore. Jesus shed blood and His resurrection guarantee that for those who believe in Him and make Him their Lord. I can be the most hard-headed man on the face of the earth, but if I come to an understanding of my brokenness and rebellion, the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, covers my sin and makes me right with God. On Facebook today, a person asked the question, why do we have a hard time believing God loves us? There were a few other answers, but I had to put my answer in there too. I said, I think the reason we have a hard time believing God loves us is we know all of our own sins. Even all those deep, dark, horrible thoughts we're afraid to admit we have. It's almost impossible to fathom that a righteous and holy God could love us, knowing that He knows even that part of us. It takes time to learn to trust Him enough to accept that He really is that loving. So even though the people of Israel were bemoaning their situation in Psalms 44, they were in the perfect place to receive His love because they had come around to believing again in who He was. They came to the point of repentance. Until next time, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.